All right, everybody, welcome back. Bio Bros, episode 18. In this one, we're doing another different style, but I think this is going to be a fun one. So this is over underrated. This time it's aquarium products. So we have a list of 10 products here, and we're going to pick if we think they're over or underrated, and then a little bit of our thoughts on them. And we haven't told each other what we think about all of these yet. I got some pretty good assumptions that we're going to be on the same page for a lot of these. But we haven't told each other yet, so we're going to actually have some open discussion in here and sharing our real opinions. And share yours in the comments, too, if you like feel like it. Some of this stuff has some real debate to have. There's not a right or wrong answer. This is our opinions on popular products that we think are either over or underrated. So, Alex, I'll let you lead us off on the first one.
Well, the first one we're going to be doing is one that I feel like we talked about this in the pre-show. It's depending on where you are, it is very debatable. And that is sponge filters. I personally think they are very underrated.
Yeah, I'm on the same opinion as you. I'm underrated, but I know, like we talked about in the pre-show, people who know they're underrated love them. And so if you're only talking to people who keep them and use sponge filters in the way that they work the best, primarily in like fish rooms, if you have 20 fish tanks, dude, it's all about the sponge filter. That sponge filter is by far the best filter if you have 20 aquariums in one room. So those people love to talk about their sponge filters and they love how awesome they are. So it'll seem like they're overrated because your friend just will not stop talking about how great the sponge filter is. But if you're a normal person and your friends don't have 20 fish tanks in a room, you might be sleeping on them because they're a little ugly in your tank, which is definitely true. But in my opinion, the way they're the most underrated is set it and forget it. I throw sponge filters in tanks all the time and just leave them sitting. That way, if I need a bonus filter somewhere, I can pull it out of that tank and I have a filter ready to go. So that's why I think they're underrated just for that purpose. Amazing emergency filters.
Yeah, I also agree. I think they're amazing emergency filters, as well as they're great for hospital tanks, because there's no charcoal to have to take out. There's nothing that's going to pull your medicine out of the water. And like you had said, they're great to just have on hand in another tank, and you can just slap it into a hospital tank or slap it into another tank as an emergency.
Yeah. Versatility is unmatched.
Oh, yeah. As well, I think, so I know you had said they're kind of ugly in the tank. I think, personally, if you do the scape right around the sponge filter, you can make it to where they're, like, you don't even see them, and you don't need to see them. And they'll still function how there's, just as well, if not better than some other filter, like other hang-on-the-backs and stuff like that. And like Sean said, yeah. And like you had said too.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
Anyway,
yeah, keep going.
I was just gonna say, like you had said earlier with the many tanks, that it a lot of people don't realize. So a sponge filter, they're air driven, which so you just need an air pump to like have them work and function. And so when you have like a bunch of tanks, like say 20 tanks, instead of having to plug in 20 different filters, you get one big air pump and you can hook it up to every single one of those sponge filters as long as it's big enough, and they will work just how they're supposed to with only having one plug.
Yeah, that's another good point on those ones. I think that about wraps it up because we kind of agree on this one. They're underrated. They're, in my opinion, the best overall filter. If you have to pick one that only works, I think they're the best. So it's hard to overrate something that, in my opinion, is the best.
Yeah.
Bring on to the next one here. We'll do tank dividers. So this is a product you put in between your tank, and it keeps your fish on one side, one fish on the other side. I think these are, I don't know, these ones are kind of weird for me because it depends, but I'm going to say overrated overall. I think a much better system in nearly every case is a hospital or jail tank. I think just completely removing the fish from the other one is the way to go. I've seen people try to split up like two male bettas in the same tank. So they have two fish that can't be together in one tank, and it always seems like it goes wrong. Just it's a one of those things. What's the law that they say? It's like if something can go wrong, yeah, if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. I feel like that's how tank dividers are most of the time.
Yeah, I also agree that they are very overrated. I personally hate them. Mostly because when I worked at a fish store, they had them in every single one of their tanks. Because instead of having it like how a lot of the box stores have, where it's like individual tanks, this fish store I worked for had like, I think it was either, I don't remember if they were 40s or bigger. I think they were bigger, but I could be wrong. And they just used tank dividers to make different sections for different fish. And first off, they don't work most of the time. The fish get right past them and get to the other side, either by jumping over it or somehow squeezing through it. Second off, they restrict water flow like there is no tomorrow. Because at the store I was working at, there was a sump system. So on one side of the tank would be the outflow, and the other side of the tank would be the inflow. And on this, if you like, you go from the one side that has the inflow, I guess, where it's pushing the water out, and you go over to where, like, the section just before the outflow, or like where the water's getting sucked out, and it's stagnant, like it's not moving, or if it is, it's so minutely moving that you cannot tell. Like, it has biofilm on the surface of the water and everything. And that's just another reason I think they're way overrated. They kill your water quality on one side or the other of them. They don't work most of the time. And I personally think they're kind of ugly. I don't know why you'd want one.
I mean, it's like I was saying, I do think the better option in almost all cases is just a separate tank. If you need to keep things separate, keep them separate. Don't try to do this in the middle thing. It doesn't tend to work. But there are some uses, like introducing breeding cichlids and things like that, that are very territorial. And so you don't really know if they're going to tolerate each other, the male and female you're going to attempt to breed. So soft introducing them together where they can see each other, they can smell or taste each other, because fish can taste on their bodies. It's kind of weird. But they can get to know each other through a barrier, and that way you can kind of monitor, see if they're going to try to kill each other right at the gate or if they're going to get along. So there are uses for tank dividers. They can be really helpful in emergency situations too. If somebody's going nuts, fish decides to be a serial killer, and you have right now to hurry and do it while you set up another tank or rehome this fish, they do work. They're just not a great long-term solution. This is a very temporary thing. They're good temporary. You want it to be long term. Probably not the move.
Yeah, and the only thing I would say countering what, like you had said, with like the breeding cichlids and stuff, is that in my past experience, which I bred green terrors, the subspecies that has the white on the outside of their fins, and I tried to put one of those dividers in because they were going after my Oscars at the time. And put it in there, got it all secure and everything, went to bed, woke up the next day. The green terror male had ripped that thing apart, or not ripped it apart, but like moved it to where it was completely useless. And they were free swimming again, and he was beating up on my Oscars. So I just think that they fail so easily that they're overrated because they're not worth it to me.
Yeah, I mean, fair opinion-based one. Next one, this one I don't have terribly strong opinions on, but a little bit, because this one's especially subjective. Dragonstone. I think Dragonstone is very overrated, but I think it's really good at the same time. So overrated doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, it just means people think that it's just the bee's knees, and it isn't. So Dragonstone is a very, very easy to work with stone. But since it's really easy, it lacks versatility. To me, all Dragonstone scapes kind of blend together, and they're all pretty good. They're all, like, say we're going on a 7, 1 through 10 scale, they're about a 7 or 8, maybe even a little higher, maybe even 8 to 8.5 in a nice Dragonstone scape. They look really good. It's very easy to make a nice-looking tank, but it's really hard to make a great-looking tank. Especially for the prices, since it is so popular, people like to jack up the prices a little bit because everyone wants it. I think you can get better stone and create a better looking aquarium with it, even though it's good. Even though it's good, I think it's hard to be great with Dragonstone. Just easy to work with material, so I think it's a little overrated.
I also think it's overrated. You don't have super strong opinions on Dragonstone, but I've used it in the past, and I think it's just like you said, every scape you do with Dragonstone looks the same. They also tend to be more brittle, I guess I would say, which I guess could be a con towards them, like that would make them even more overrated, because like something like Mountain Stone, or what is it, not Mountain Stone.
Sirius stone.
You drop that and you're gonna crush your foot or whatever is underneath it. You drop Dragonstone, it's going into a million pieces.
Yeah, that's actually kind of nice though, when you're making a smaller tank and you need little pieces of stone. It's kind of nice.
It is. I do agree, but I also I've had the problem of like breaking it up and stuff, and then rinsing it, and it's still not getting all of that almost like mud off of it, and it just clouds up the entire tank.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's not bad, but it's not great either.
Yeah, I think it's hard to be great with Dragonstone, and I think a lot of people attempt to be great with Dragonstone or act like it is, which is your opinion. If you love it, you love it, man. That's great. But I think it's a lower skilled thing, and if you don't want to take hours and days and weeks to create a scape, dude, get Dragonstone. Just make sure the direction of the stones go the same way, and you'll have a great scape in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's go on to the next one here, because we kind of agree on Dragonstone. Dragonstone's so subjective, I don't want to spend 10 minutes ranting about little details on it.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be people who love it, and they're not wrong for loving it. That one's insanely subjective. So we'll go on to one here. Canister filter. This one's going to be a controversial one, I think, because I'm going to say overrated.
I am saying underrated.
So, here's why I say overrated. And it's exclusively one reason. They're annoying to clean. That's it.
I understand that, because I understand that pain of cleaning a canister filter and the smell that hits you in the face as soon as you open it. But I think they perform so well and are very versatile in how you can set them up that it kind of outweighs the difficulty of cleaning them. Because when I say versatile, I mean canister filters, you can get ones with the heater in the tubing, so you don't have to have a heater in your tank. You can get ones where you can directly eject CO2 into them, so you don't have to have a CO2 little diffuser in the tank. And it's easy to hide two hoses in the back. And you can get some really nice clean fittings for going into your tank, like the lily pipes that are glass. And you will, until they get algae or something on them, if you keep them clean, you barely can tell they're even in the tank.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying canister filters are bad. I love my Eheim canister filter. I'm shouting out that brand because I stand by those Eheim filters. Those things are awesome. Yeah. I've had some of the fancy ones that like are trying to be a spaceship, and that thing's a hunk of crap disaster. Threw it away. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy it. I got this one with a bunch of other stuff I bought when I purchased a tank. But the market value of this, I'm not going to shout it out because they discontinued the filter anyway, was like $600 at the time. And then immediately, the price immediately fell within like a year of it coming out to like $200. And it was just trying to like, yeah, it was trying to be like space age. It had like a screen on it. The thing was terrible. But my Eheim, that just basic filter, awesome. Never give me a problem. Love it. But they are just so annoying to clean. I find myself not cleaning it as often as I should. And even though it works amazing when you maintain it. A dirty filter is still a dirty filter. So even though, cool, it's pumping a lot of water through a lot of media, it's dirtier media than I would like it to be, more often than I would like that to be, just because it's annoying. So I say they're overrated for that. I think a lot of people consider these the S tier, the best filters you can possibly get. You know, you'll hear people be like, yeah, I got a canister filter even on this tank. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. But I really don't think they're the best. In my opinion, a sponge filter for smaller tanks or all freshwater tanks is the best. And I think a nice sump setup with a filter stock is the best for saltwater. So which means to me, I think canister filters are overrated. Not by a ton, very marginally overrated, but I think they are overrated.
Yeah, I mean, I still think, personally, I think they're underrated, mostly because, I mean, at least I know for me in the hobby, until I started actually working at a fish store and like working with canister filters and things like that, they weren't even I didn't know what they were. I didn't know anything about them. The only filters I knew were sponge filters and hang on the backs. And obviously like sumps and things like that. But so they were like new to me when I started working there. And just the being able to use it for fresh or salt, obviously with some modifications, obviously, but not anything crazy. And being able to put like your heater in there and your CO2 straight into it. I just think that they are underrated on those aspects, I guess. Because I think that those are so great. Instead of having to put all that stuff in the tank, you can put it in the lines of the filter and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong at all. I mean, it's just like, you know, opinion based on that one. They are great filters. You're not wrong for loving them. And I don't hate them at all. All right. This is going to be a quick one here. We're going to knock this one out in like 10 seconds. Stick on or outside of the glass thermometers?
Overrated.
Overrated. How in the world they is this going to give me an accurate representation of what the inside of my aquarium's water is going to be like from the outside of, on average, we'll say 1/8 of an inch glass? It's not. These are taking your room temperatures, and they're not even good at that. Overrated. Get that out of here. Let's get to a more interesting one. Magnetic glass cleaner.
I'm curious what your opinion on this one's going to be.
Underrated.
I said overrated.
So I have another fairly basic reason why I say underrated. They're underrated because of their ease. They're so easy to use. My grandpa, he had the cleanest glass you'd ever see. And he had his tank was like before they even invented the fancy low iron glass. And it was like just as clear as some of those tanks. Dude could keep glass clean. And all he did was he took the little magnetic thing and just every day just went through his tank. Just every day. And then he took it out and he set it on top of his or back in his little fish room that he had behind there and took it right out of the tank. And that was it. That was all he did every day. And it just never allowed algae to build up. Now, I do think if you let algae build up, these things are not very good and they take forever and it just doesn't work great. And I prefer like a razor blade for that algae that's actually on there. But they're really nice if you keep up with it. Those magnetic cleaners take in 2 seconds and your glass is just crystal clear.
Oh, I personally said they're overrated because not because the algae buildup, but like if you get certain algae, like green spot algae, these don't work. At least I've never had them work for green spot algae unless I like scraped my life away. That and then I've seen it happen and on one aspect of this, and then also heard horror stories of this happening with them is them. You go too low to the substrate, it collects sand. And scratch the ever-living crap out of your entire glass wherever you move it to.
And oh, then yeah,
second
I have,
part of
I've
that,
heard of that.
Yeah, second part of that that I've not seen personally, but I've heard of it, is there's a very strong magnet inside of those things. And I've heard stories of people drop or putting the one side in and then accidentally it slips, or they just dropped it in and went too quick or something. And they connect and break a tank.
I've heard of that, but I've never seen it. I've never seen it either. I think it could be an old wives' tale. But
it could
like
be.
Like I said, in Penthe's episode, sometimes old wives are right. They could be, could not be. I don't know. I'm curious to know if that is actually true. Because I've heard about it, too.
I've just heard so many stories about it that it makes me think that it... I mean, yeah. I've heard it so many times that I'm like, okay, maybe there's some truth behind this.
Yeah, maybe there is. But, yeah, like I said, I think they're underrated just because of the ease of them if you keep up with it. If you do that every day, every other day in your tank, it's going to be really hard for any algae to build up. Even that, like, really hard green spot algae, if you never let it establish, it's never really caked on
there.
It's
the bane of my existence.
Yeah, but I understand where people are coming from, because I have done the same thing that I know everybody who's had one of these has done, where you sit there and you scrub one little spot for like 5 minutes, and then you move it away to sea, and there's no progress made.
That, or you move it away to sea, and the inside part flings off into the space of your tank.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. I mostly use a razor blade or one of those like scrapers that's on a stick. That's mostly what I use, because I don't clean my glass often enough. Yeah. Next one here, 24/7 lighting, and kind of what I mean by this one is the lighting that slowly ramps up in the morning like a sunrise, and then has a sunset to all the way off, and then occasionally have like a cloud come by or a storm happen, like those kind of lighting. All right, so what are you thinking on these ones, Alex? I want to hear yours first, actually.
Personally, I think they're underrated, mostly just because I think they are so cool. And I think, to be honest, they replicate nature a lot if done right, and like having the actual times right and everything like that, that they are really good for, like at the tanks and stuff like that. Like maybe not the storm or like the cloud. Yeah, I could see that. But like maybe not the storm, because like the flashing light might, you know, scare the crap out of your fish. But like having a cloud come by every now and again where it goes down a little bit like it would in nature, or like having it ramp up and ramp down, I think that is so cool. And honestly, I've not seen many of these on the market, like personally. And if I do, they are stupid expensive.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that they are overrated. And I'm happy you brought up the natural aspect of it, because that's the kind of arguments I see for them. And it's why I think they're overrated. So like we say in all the care episodes, living in a glass box is a whole lot different than the wild.
True.
There's huge differences to that. And I think there's a lot more things you can do that are a lot easier and cheaper and more effective at giving your animals that wild experience or being closer to nature and all of that than these lights provide. I think a lot of people provide these lights and are like, this is it. They're back in the wild. They know how nature is now. Here you go. Here's your pellet food. The same one you got yesterday. So that's where I kind of see it. Or it'll be people who keep fish. Yeah, let's say they got a 55-gallon tank. They've got some grommies in there. They've got an angel fish. And then they've got like something else or other from Africa. We'll say like a Congo tetra. Are Congo tetras even from Africa? I don't even know at this point.
I think so.
It's a late episode recording. Sorry, guys. My names are not great. Like, bro, these are from three different countries or continents even. These animals, this is not the natural experience. This little light is not really doing all that much. I think it is cool to have a sunrise and sunset, but another way you can replicate that, leave your window open. Don't close the blinds. And then the room will still naturally light up a little bit before the real light, main lights turn on. And it'll, same thing, it'll still, you know, get darker a little bit before you turn your main lights off. So I think that they provide less than people would like them to. However, they are really cool. It's super cool. Again, back to my grandpa, he used to just be running old like T5 lights on his tank, his reef tank, for a long time. And then finally he went and he upgraded and he got some nice fancy LED lights. And he had things like clouds would go by and a storm could go off on him. And it was really cool to look at. That was super cool. I do think it was cool. But as far as the animals care, I don't think it really made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I was kind of on the edge of overrated versus underrated. I still think that, yes, you can do other things that are cheaper and other things to make it natural, but if you do those things on top of this light, that it just adds that extra aspect. And I guess not for everyone. That is a very niche, or niche, whatever you want to say, or however you want to say it, group of people who would want to do things like a biotope or only from one area and things like that. But I think for something like that, it is an amazing thing. And the other thing that kept me on the edge of going from overrated to underrated was the prices, because I know that they are like extremely expensive for a
Yeah, I
light.
mean, again, overrated doesn't mean bad. I think having one is better than not having this style of lighting set up. But I think people give it more credit than it deserves.
Yeah, I think unless you're in that niche group of people who are doing things like biotopes or like, all from one area or stuff like that, where it's actually replicating the environment, like doing live foods and stuff like that, that's the perfect thing for them. But for the everyday Joe, maybe not.
Yeah. All right. This one here, I'm actually going to call out a brand. I know we try not to do that because a lot of times brands are not like, it doesn't really matter. It's not even a sponsorship thing. A lot of it is that a ton of brands make the same exact product. And
Yeah.
this is a case of that. This is Fluval Stratum. People act like Fluval Stratum is the best aqua soil in the world, but really it's just the most available, which isn't a problem at all. Fluval Stratum is not bad. But people act like this is the king of aqua soils, and there's a lot of really, really high quality brands out there that are the true king of aqua soil. Like UNS makes great stuff, ADA makes amazing stuff, higher quality control. It's a better version of the exact same product. Not that Fluval Stratum is bad at all. You can grow amazing plants in Fluval Stratum. It works awesome. It's just a big box brand. The quality control isn't amazing. Your pellet size is going to be a little different. It might be a little dustier. Might not hold up quite as long as some of the other brands, but people talk about it like it's the greatest, and really it's just the most available.
Yeah, I see that aspect of people being like, this is the best, and nothing can compete, and them being completely wrong in our opinions. But I went with underrated, and the reason I went with underrated specifically is it's not super expensive, which that's like a good thing for it being, I guess, underrated would be for me, because if I don't want to go spend $500 on a tiny bag. And second, it's very, very versatile, because not only can you use this in aquariums and things like that for like your live plants and stuff, but you can use this in like dart frog tanks. You can use this in potting mixes. You can plant straight plants, like terrestrial plants, straight into this as long as they like being in water, like alocasia. I've seen lots of people use Fluval Stratum for. So I would, that's why I'm sticking with underrated. Because it is such a versatile and not super expensive product.
Yeah, and it really is only marginally worse than the fancy brands.
Yeah.
It's nearly the same product. Nearly. The other ones do edge it out a little bit. But here's where I come back from the overrated thing. I'll see people keeping Heliumphoras, which, for those who don't know, they are South American pitcher plants, and they're known to be a little finicky and they like to die. Again, this doesn't necessarily have to do with aquariums, this is the product, but people do the same thing in aquariums. It's just a very solid example right here. And these Helium 4s will be worth hundreds of dollars. They'll spend hundreds of dollars on them and then spend years growing them. And they'll put them in fluval stratum. And they'll be like, the fluval stratum, it's the best. And I'm like, no, if you're going to, you put that much time and effort and money into this already, I would be buying the fanciest aqua soil I could to plant this in. I'm not sparing any expense on this. Fluval stratum is, you know, that's normal, like grocery store. I want to buy the very fancy stuff if I'm going to be putting in that much work. Like, same thing when I see people buying, you know, hundreds of dollars of hardscape and hundreds of dollars in plants for their aquarium, and then they put it in fluval stratum. It's like, I would, if you're going to be spending all that money, I would buy the nicer product, even though it's not that much nicer. It is nicer. So I do think it's overrated. Again, not bad. Great product. Solid product.
I am on the other side of that, what you were just saying, because I would be the person to go who has the mindset of, if it works, it works. And that might be what I would do. Like, if I had something super expensive that I knew I could grow in fluval stratum, but I also know I can grow it in something super expensive, I'd probably just be like, stratum will work.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a wrong mindset at all. And but again, same deal. I think there's better products out there, and I think people put this at the top. Same as I feel with canister filters, you know. I think people put it at the top, and really, it's on the podium.
So it's just not first.
Yeah. Pre-bottled bacteria. I'll start us off with this one again. Overrated.
I am going against you again. I say underrated.
Here, I have a point, and I bet it might flip your opinion a little bit. Okay. Here's why I think it's overrated. I think it's overrated because so many people get sponsored by brands that sell this. And so it reaffirms to a lot of people that this is good. This person I trust on the internet is using it. And in reality, it's just a paid promotion. And this bacteria doesn't really last in the bottles like that. It doesn't live long enough that by the time you get it, it's probably just a bottle of dead bacteria.
You know what? I actually didn't think of it like that because I forgot about how short bacteria life is. I would say, I guess, if you could guarantee that it was alive, because I'm going to flip now. I'm going to go to overrated. If you could guarantee that it was alive, I'd be underrated all time. Whole time. Because that, when it is alive and you use it correctly, it is a great product. And it's a great way to start up a tank instead of having to do the old classic cycle of, let me add one fish and then wait 2 weeks or whatever. How I can't even remember because I haven't done it in so long. But
classic cold start cycle.
Yeah. I'm so happy. Versus dumping a bottle of this bacteria in there and you being good. Not obviously not saying you're good to go with, like, fill the tank to a brim with fish, but you're good to add a normal amount of fish. It's not like one or two. You can add a school of fish or a couple of schools of fish. As long as they don't have like a crazy large biomass or something like that, or waste mass.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't trust it. I don't trust that this is alive. I haven't looked at it under a microscope, so I can't say for sure. I just don't trust that this bacteria has been given enough food and oxygen, or lack of oxygen, depending on what kind of bacteria it is, to last the several weeks it's most likely going to go before it gets packaged, mailed all the way around the world, most likely, and then sitting on a shelf at a fish store or on a shelf at an online distributor, and then I buy it and then it gets shipped again, or I go to the store and go there. I just don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. Again, I haven't looked at it under a microscope, so I don't know, right? I don't truly know if this stuff is alive. I just don't trust it at all. Again, if it was real, this would be the most underrated product of all time for beginner fish keepers.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't trust it. And like I was saying, I think a lot of people really like it because of the marketing. A few companies over the years have done really good marketing campaigns and I feel like every few years it ebbs and flows. People are like, bottled bacteria, it's a scam. It's the worst product in the world. Why would anyone buy it? And then a company comes up with a good marketing thing, and people are like, you know what? This company makes good bacteria. It's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they do, but by the time it gets to you, I don't know if it's good anymore. You know, if you live in a harsh climate, like I live in Arizona, dude, that's going to be hot by the time it gets to me. It's going to have gotten hot if it went through the summer. I doubt it's alive.
Yeah, and I mean, that's honestly what made me flip when you said that. Because I wasn't thinking of it in that way, I guess, because bacteria tends to have a short lifespan anyways. Add on all the other ingredients of it being package shipped and all that kind of stuff, and you're looking at probably not. And it's just like I said earlier, and you said too, if you could guarantee it was alive, completely underrated product and be amazing. But without that guarantee, no.
Yeah, and it's pretty much impossible to get that guarantee.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, then you're just dumping, you know, ammonia and decaying things into your tank, which coincidentally actually can help start your tank, but not in the way you want it to. So like I was saying, like I think a lot of people haven't necessarily really thought about pre-bottled bacteria, and so they think it's great. But then you take a second and really think about it, and you're like, wait a minute, that almost doesn't make sense. That was me. Like it took me a minute. I came up with that like whole thought process maybe 2 years ago. And mm-hmm. ever since then, I haven't been able to look at bottled bacteria the same. All right.
No, I
final one
understand.
Here is air stones. I'll start us off on this one. I made you start the other one. I'm going to say they're overrated. There's not very many times I think an air stone is really going to do much for me.
Yeah, I also said overrated, and not exactly because like I don't think it could do much, I guess. It's because I think in the right hands it probably could. But at the same time, it's so many people are like, oh, this brings so much oxygen back into my tank, and it really doesn't. The main thing for them really, because none of those bubbles are dissolving by the time they get to the surface. The main thing that they really do is churn up the water and keep water flow going well, which, in theory, does help oxygen levels in the tank, but it's not because of the bubbles.
Yeah, until you get into a very large tank, I will say that. Until you get
yes.
very, very tall. I mean, very tall. I'm not going to say numbers off the top of my head because I don't remember what they are, but very tall. That's why you'll see them at like public aquariums. You'll see in the big main displays at public aquariums, they have those bubblers in there. But look up, follow that bubble trail. It doesn't hit the surface because at those depths, oxygen can dissolve. So I will throw that out there. In massive tanks, you better be running your air stones. That's the best way to get oxygen in there.
Oh, yeah. But you have to have massive tanks to do that.
But other than that, they're a lot of show, not a lot of go, in pretty much every case. They don't hurt at all. They add some surface agitation. Nice. They can be good to just keep the surface agitation temporarily. I used them when I was moving, and some of my fish had to sit overnight in like temporary tanks and buckets. I'd toss them in there and just keep the air moving. I thought it worked just fine. I didn't lose any fish due to that during the move. And at the time, I had a lot of fish. I had like freshwater, saltwater, brackish. I had everything. It was a disaster moving. Terrible time. Don't recommend that. But I have a surplus of air stones and air pumps laying around that I've just accumulated over the years. And I don't really ever use them except for temporary housing. I think almost every time there's another thing that can do the job better.
A sponge filter.
Yeah, a sponge filter is essentially an air stone plus, you know,
a filter.
Does the same aeration plus filtration, right? It's not So I almost always think that there's a better thing than an airstone. And I think they look kind of corny too, if I'm being for real. I
Oh, I
don't
know
really
they
like the look
100%
of
do.
them. It's one of my gripes with sponge filters is I don't really like that big column of bubbles. I think it looks kind of weird. But whatever. It's not that big of a deal. I still love sponge filters. At one point, I got on a huge sponge filter kick and had every single tank I had running on sponge filters exclusively, all the way up to 75 gallons.
I did too.
Yeah, but I just went through a kick of it. I just loved them for some reason. I was way into them. Had like huge ones everywhere. But essentially, those were airstones. But rather than having airstones, I had them be bonuses, right? I had to be at same benefits as an airstone and filters. So that just, I think they're a bit overrated. I think a lot of people think that they truly are air stones, and in reality, they're no more aerating, in a lot of cases, less aerating than like a hang on the back filter.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why we both agreed that they are overrated. They don't do exactly what a lot of people think they do.
Yeah. All right, that puts a wrap on all 10 of our underrated products here. And I think this was a good episode. I think it was kind of fun. We disagreed more than I thought we would, which
Yeah,
is
I
good.
definitely did.
I wanted that to happen really, because of the products that I picked on here. I picked ones that I thought would cause some of that you could go either way fairly easily on. I tried to pick those, and I think we did a good job picking those. Because again, nothing on here, maybe with the exception of the stick-on thermometer, which I forgot we even did that, we brushed over it so fast, are all good. If you made an aquarium with all of these products in it, for the most part, it'd be pretty good. But it doesn't necessarily, again, overrated, underrated doesn't necessarily mean good and bad. It means that people either think it's better than it is, or people think that it's worse than it is, or we think that that's what other people believe.
Yeah,
So
I mean
that
it's.
was, okay, finish up.
Oh no, I was just gonna, you hit it right on the nail. I mean it's not better, not worse. It's just our opinion on these things, and it doesn't mean that they're good or bad. It just means that we have an opinion on it, and that's what we choose to have.
Yeah, and we want this to be a series too. We'll do like plant products and reptile products as well. Like, we'll do things like that. We might bring it back. We might do a round two of this with all new products that we did not discuss in this episode.
Yeah.
We'll leave a list of all of them in the description as well, just that way you can follow along and have all of our a list of the products that we did, and secretly so we can look back later and see which ones we already did. So, hope you guys enjoyed. Comment if you made it this far. We want to know who's making it this far. Like, comment, subscribe, do all that. And we will see you on the next one.
You guys, if there's any products you want us to give our opinion on, I guess, put it in the comment section. But see y'all next week.